It's fairly common to ask God to bless us. It's a pretty regular habit that we have. I think that if any one of us prays on a regular basis, we pray very selfish prayers, don't we? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We pray selfishly. God, bless me this week. God, bless my work. God, I'm asking you for a raise. I'm asking you for a new job. I'm asking you to bless my family, God. We just pray these selfish prayers, and they may be very good things to pray, but they're selfish. Why? Because they're all about you. And so we tend to pray selfish prayers. And have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've just finished praying your list of selfish prayers, and then you've heard somebody else pray about some big issue in the world, like starving orphans in a third world country, and you feel like, what is wrong with me? You know, I'm praying all these selfish prayers. Am I the only one who's had that experience? Or somebody prays about something that's so big, solving world hunger, and you're like, well, I just asked if God could give me a good week. Now, we tend to pray selfish prayers, and I have an announcement to make this morning. That's okay. God wants you to pray selfish prayers. If you're here for the first time this morning, you're thinking, I could get used to this church. God wants you to pray selfish prayers. If you brought your Bibles with you, open to Psalm chapter 67. We're spending the month of August in the book of Psalms. And this morning we're turning our attention to Psalm chapter 67. And the interesting thing about the book of Psalms is that there are a collection of songs that individuals have written expressing their heart, their desires, their tragedies that they're undergoing in life. But they're in the Scripture, which means that they've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has put His stamp of approval upon these psalms, upon these songs. And so it's the Word of God for us, which means we can read through these songs, these psalms, and we can learn things about God, we can learn things about ourselves and our relationship with Him. And I believe we learned something in Psalm 67 that encourages us to pray selfish prayers. Let's read through it this morning, starting in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. You hear it several times throughout the psalm. May God bless us. May God bless us. Our God shall bless us. See, some people disapprove of bless me prayers. Some people don't like it when we pray God's blessing upon themselves, but I'm here to remind you this morning that this is the Word of God. So next time you feel condemned or judged for praying to God for God to bless you, go ahead and read Psalm 67, and you can know that it's okay to ask God to bless you. We're awfully quiet this morning. Does nobody enjoy being blessed? We've got a group of selfless people here this morning. This is going to be challenging. God wants you to pray and ask Him to bless you. That's okay. I think it's rather exciting. Now, this psalm begins with words that it would be extremely familiar to the Jewish listener. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. This was the priestly blessing. God gave this to Moses and said, I want you to speak this blessing to Aaron and his sons, so that they, as the priests, could declare this over the Israelites. This was the priestly blessing that they would speak over the Israelites at the end of every day's sacrifice in the temple. They would speak this blessing, and it's recorded in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then it says this in verse 27, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. God is thoroughly interested in blessing his people. Thoroughly interested in blessing you. And the blessing of the Lord is transferred by declaration of faith. He was told, Moses was told, tell Aaron and the priests to be able to declare this over the Israelites. The blessing of the Lord is transferred by a declaration. And daily they would declare this over the people, that God wants you to be blessed. Some people say, well, if God wants to bless me, he can just go ahead and bless me, but I'm just not going to ask for it. I just don't feel right about that, Pastor Tim. God can just go ahead and do whatever he wants to do. You know, if he's going to bless me, that's fine. That's his business, but I'm not going to ask for it. Nay. God says you're supposed to ask for blessings. Do you know how frustrating it is when you want to buy someone a gift and they haven't given you any ideas? You know, that wife's birthday is coming around the corner and a special anniversary is coming up, and the best idea that you have is a gift card? Oh, she'll find something at the Penn Center. Wives, if you want to get a great birthday gift for your husbands, just tell them what you want for your birthday. That's a great gift. That really helps the guy out, because they just want to be able to get you something that you want. But if you haven't told them, if you haven't asked them, guys are lost. Right? Amen. Thank you. We need a little help. Now, God doesn't need help. However, he still wants to hear you share your heart to him. He wants to hear from you. How can I bless you? I want to bless you. But you need to be able to speak up and ask him for blessings in your life. So here's this psalmist. He begins by writing this anointed song by turning to the priestly prayer and making it into a lyric. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Many of us are very familiar with this, asking God to bless us. But here's verse 2. Then he says this, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. He's saying, God, I want you to be gracious to me. I want you to bless me. I want your favor to be around me. But I'm not asking for it just so that I can enjoy my own life. I'm not asking for these blessings just so that I can consume them upon my desires and my satisfaction. I'm asking you to bless me so that the nations can see your goodness. I'm asking you to bless me so that your name can be made famous. I want to talk to you this morning about selfless selfishness. Many of you are thinking, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to try and make that make sense this morning. Selfless selfishness. It's asking God to be good to you, not so that you can just enjoy his goodness, but so that everyone who sees God being good to you can come to know God for themselves. It's so that God can be glorified because he's been good to you. But I think a lot of us have lost sight of this. We've lost sight of what it means to receive blessings from God in order for the purpose of making him known. So we've gone to one of two extremes. We've gone to one ditch or another. We've gone and either said that we've stopped asking for blessings. You know, we've had condemning fingers waved at us, and we've had people preaching at us that we need to stop asking God to bless us. They say, well, Jesus already died for you. He already blessed you. What more do you want? Your sins are forgiven. Stop asking for more things from God. And we've been made to feel guilty about praying and asking God to do things in our lives. We've been made to feel sinful if we ask God to bless us. Maybe you've heard that message. And so maybe you tried changing the way that you prayed and you started you started spending your prayer time praying for other people. You know, maybe I should get my mind on to other people. So you start praying for everybody else around you and the issues going on in the world, and you see things in the newspaper and you start praying for world issues. But after a while, you sort of lose your motivation to pray. Why? Because it's completely normal to pray selfish prayers. It's completely normal to pray for yourself. Why? Because there's a possibility that nobody else is. That's harsh, but it's possible. So if we all pray for ourselves, everybody's covered. So I'm here to release some judgment and some condemnation off of your shoulders. It's okay to ask God to bless you. Don't feel guilty about praying selfish prayers. But then there's another ditch on the other side where we just pray for God to bless us just so that we can enjoy ourselves. God, I want you to heal my back so that it's a little bit more comfortable when I lay down in my chair and watch TV. We want God to bless us just so that we can be happy. We just want to consume God's goodness upon ourselves. God, I sure would appreciate it if you'd help me out with this, this, and this, because then it would just make my day go a little bit smoother. And we've become so selfish in our culture, especially. Everything in our society is about us. Everything is about, what can I get out of this? I mean, you can't have a conversation with somebody without, somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, how is this going to benefit me? What can I get out of this relationship? Somebody asks you to go out for lunch. Well, am I going to benefit from this lunch? You know, who's paying for lunch? It's hard to have a conversation without thinking selfishly. What can I? And it's just everything becomes about you as an individual. And so the other extreme that we need to avoid is just saying, God, bless me, bless me, bless me, because I just want to enjoy myself. Two extremes we need to avoid. When you're operating in this kind of a thinking where it's just all about you, it's all selfishness, you could do some nice things on the exterior, but your motives are so raw, so off. You could write some pretty big checks to the church. But the only reason you're doing so is because you're believing that God's going to bring it all back and press down, shaken together, running over. The only reason that you give to the church is because you say, okay, God, let's go, harvest time. You could do a lot of nice things with purely selfish motives. You could say amen when I preach about healing, but it's just because you just want to be a little bit more comfortable. You just don't want to deal with that pain anymore. There's no bigger picture than that. You can get excited when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. But instead of being genuinely interested in the message of what God's trying to say when you hear a prophetic word, You just enjoy getting goosebumps and the warm fuzzies. Because, oh, something happened today in service, a prayer meeting. Or even worse, you could be desiring to be used in the gifts of the Spirit just because you want to be seen and heard by others. Just because you want people to think that you're super spiritual. And so you're saying, God, please give me a prophecy. See, your motives need to be selflessly selfish. Well, Pastor Tim, how are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to ask God to bless us and yet not be purely selfish? Well, the psalmist has already told us. So you pray like this: God, I'm going to ask you to bless me. I'm going to ask you to be gracious to me. I'm going to ask that your face would shine upon me, not just so that I can be comfortable and enjoy my life, but so that other people will see your goodness towards me. And they'll start praising you. This is what's happening in this psalm. Other people will start praising God because God blessed you. So selfless selfishness, try saying that 10 times fast, is asking God to bless you for His glory, His name, and His ultimate benefit. See, when you ask God, God, make me holy, there's a function of selfishness there because you're wanting to change something about you. It's something that's going to benefit your life if you become a more holy person. But at the same time, you are selfless in that you are fulfilling God's desire. God wants you to be holy. And so you are thinking selflessly towards Him and what He wants to provide for you. You can ask God to bless you financially, and you can still be selflessly selfish. Some people don't like praying for money. I like praying for money. I enjoy asking God for money. I do. Why? Because it's a lot more enjoyable to have more money at the end of the month than more month at the end of the money. It just is. Life's better that way. Life's better debt-free. It is. So I have no problem asking God for money. I'm selfish a little bit. I'm a little bit selfish in that having more money will allow me to enjoy my life a little bit more. Can I get an amen? Okay. Now, but I'm selfless in that I am so excited about being able to give more money away. You know what happens when you get a raise? The church gets a raise. If you understand tithing, when you get a raise, the kingdom of God gets a raise. So go ahead and ask for a raise. If God can trust you with money, hey, He's going to pour out, you can tithe more, and now you can give more. See, if you get more money, and yet your expenses stay the same, you just have more money to be able to give away. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to give $200 to your waitress, you don't have to go and fast for a week to figure out if that was really the Spirit of God. That could have been the devil tempting me to tip. You could just go, hey, I've got the money in the account, so I can do it. But if you don't have it, you can't do it. So I have no problem asking God for money. Ask God to bless you financially. As long as you've got enough selflessness in you, the first thing you're going to do is tithe. Second thing you're going to do is give a little bit more. Third thing you're going to do is help that family member who's in a season of need. See, when your heart's right, God can trust you with a lot of money. Selflessly selfish. Hold your place in Psalm 67 and turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. God showed something to me here that's going to help us understand the difference between our perspective of blessing and God's perspective of blessing. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read about the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused their language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So these people had a plan. They had a plan. They had ambitions, they were highly motivated individuals, and this is what they said. They said, let us build ourselves a city, let's build ourselves a tower that reaches up to the heavens, and let's make a name for ourselves. Let's make a name for ourselves. Wouldn't it be great to just make a name for yourself? This is the speech of every leader, every politician, every hero, and every individual who does not acknowledge their need for God. We're going to make something happen. This is going to be great. We're going to turn the economy around. We're going to fix this. We're going to fix that. We're going to be able to restore our country. We're going to be able to restore our society. We're going to be able to change our community. We're going to be able to fix the problems in our neighborhood. We can take care of it. And in the process, what are they really wanting? They want to make a name for themselves. They're not really interested in helping people and solving problems. They're interested in making a name for themselves. They're picturing that day when they can be made famous because of what they did. These individuals had a plan to build a tower in order to make their name great. And this kind of thinking has crept into the church. Now, we don't say the same thing. We don't say that we're going to take care of it because we're smarter than that. We say God's going to take care of it. We say, God, we want you to build your church. God, we want you to build us a nice fancy building. God, we want you to bring in people, and we want you to bring in finances. And God, we want you to do it so that you can make our name great. God, we want you to do it because we just want everybody to know about how great our church is. We want to impress people. And so, God, we're asking you to bless us as a church because we really want to be popular. We really want people to know who we are. It's crept into the church to the point where instead of building God's kingdom, it's about building our own kingdom. How can we build our own kingdom and give Jesus kind of half credit for it? Make our name great, O God. This is what's on the heart of a lot of people in the church. Now, they don't say it out loud. It's sort of snuck in their subconscious somewhere. Well, you heard how the story ended at the Tower of Babel. God didn't approve of this approach very much. God didn't approve of how they tried to go about things. But you creep over into Genesis chapter 12, and you read a different story. Says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Isn't that a different story? Here's a group of people who said, we can make ourselves a blessing. We can bless ourselves. We can make our name great. God says that's not how things are going to happen. Then he steps into a man named Abram and says, I'm going to make your name great. Your name can be a whole lot greater if you let God do your promotion rather than you. God says, I'm going to make your name great. Then he takes Abram out to look at the sky to see all the stars in the sky, and he says, I'm going to give you as many offspring as these stars. Now, in Abram's lifetime, how many kids did he have? 1.5. 2, depending on how you count. 1 that was a part of the plan of God. 2 kids. Now, how foolish would it have been for Abram to look back and go, well, God, you said that you're going to give me all this offspring here, and it just didn't happen. How foolish would Abram have been? We have it recorded in the book of Galatians. Paul tells us that those who are of Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're Abraham's offspring. We're as numerous as the stars in heaven. The promise was absolutely fulfilled. God says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to make your name great. Would have been pretty foolish for Abraham to just see Isaac and not see anything beyond that. You know what that would have been called? Small thinking. Small thinking. We got a lot of small thinking in the church. We think, well, isn't that nice? God healed my shoulder and now I can go golfing again. Isn't that nice? Wasn't that nice of God? This is just fantastic. I was looking forward to 9 holes and now I can go. God, thank you for healing my shoulder. Small thinking. Small thinking. God, does God want you to enjoy 9 holes? Absolutely, praise the Lord. But there's a bigger picture than you enjoying your game of golf. Little do you know that once you get to the golf course, God has sent somebody there along your path that you're going to get to share your testimony that God healed your shoulder. And they're going to say, I've just been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. And you're going to get an opportunity to lay hands on them in the middle of hole number 4 and see them healed. Now, oh, you say, oh, God, you, You heal my shoulder so that I could go to the golf course so that that could happen. Still small thinking. Because now that man's going to live and not die. He's going to grow up, get married, and have kids. His kid is going to grow up and become the next Billy Graham. That kid's going to grow up and he's going to reach hundreds of thousands of people with the message of Jesus. What happens if you stop there? Small thinking. Because what happens to one of those kids who shows up at that next Billy Graham's meeting? A single mother who's struggling with three young kids and doesn't know if she's going to take her life that night or not. And she decides to make a life-changing decision for Jesus Christ that sets in motion a change in every generation to follow in that lady's family. So we need to get rid of small thinking. In the church, it says, God, thank you for healing me. I'm just going to say thank you and just enjoy myself and move on. Healing is not for you. It's for somebody else. I thank God that we have a healing testimony in the bulletin this week. Did you read your bulletins? Those are there for reading, not just the pictures. Healings aren't just for the individual who got healed. It's so that they can then declare it to somebody else. See, this was a part of early Pentecostal movement in the early 1900s. People were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. People were getting healed left, right, and center. But they understood that their healing wasn't just for them. Somebody got healed and they were like, let's go tell the newspaper. Let's get an article in the mail. Let's get the word out. Can I tell some people about this testimony? Go tell your neighbors about it. Everything was about this is a sign to tell other people about the kingdom of God. And we've become so individualistic in our North American society. We've become so private, so personal, that we experience a healing and we didn't even tell anybody. We go, well, I don't want to brag. Well, who healed you? You? No. Well, go ahead. Who healed you? God? Oh, well, you can go ahead and brag on him. You can go ahead and brag on him. But we were so private. We're so, well, I don't want to share that. And the healing wasn't just for you. God pouring out his provision was not just for you. Your blessing, the psalmist says, was so that his name could be made great. So go ahead and ask God to bless you. If it means that Jesus is going to get famous in your neighborhood, go ahead and pray those prayers. And praying for and believing for the blessings of God in your life is far more significant of a thing than any of us have ever realized. They go far beyond a personal blessing. God told Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Why? So that you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, but it's not just so that you can be happy. It's not just so that, Abram, you can enjoy all the days of your life. It's so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. You can go ahead and enjoy your life while you're on the journey, but it's not ultimately about you. So the psalmist says that your way may be known on the earth. The psalmist continues, let the peoples praise you, O God. There's this repetition. Let the people praise you. Let the peoples praise you. He talks about all the nations involved here. Praising God. Why? Because they saw God be good to one of his children. So why don't we go ahead and give people something to praise God about? You know that people aren't going to praise God until we give them a reason to praise God? People who don't know God are not just going to start praising him until we give them a reason. So go ahead and ask God to bless you. And when he does, go tell them the story. Go share your testimony. God saved me. God healed me. God provided for me. Find your story and share it with somebody else. Because life's bigger than just you. Small thinking. Well, God wants to change this generation that's on the earth, the current population of the world. I don't know if last time you counted, but it's pretty big. God has all those people in mind, but guess what? He also has the entire next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. Let's get some big thinking here. and realize what your small testimony of God healing your shoulder, God providing to pay that visa bill. You take that story and you realize how big it can be in somebody's life. When you worship a God for whom nothing is impossible. And let me just say this in closing. Don't try and make a name for yourself. Don't spend any time trying to make yourself known. Spend all of your time trying to make Jesus known, and he'll make you known. He'll make you known. I'll make your name great, he says. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your desire to bless us as your people. And Heavenly Father, we unashamedly make ourselves open for your blessings. We ask God that you would be gracious to us, that you would bless us, and that your face would shine upon us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. God, we just declare that over ourselves as your people, as your children. We declare that over our families, and we thank you, God, that every time you pour out more of yourself upon us, it's just another opportunity to give you praise and to share our testimony with those around us. We thank you, Father, for your goodness in our lives, and we bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.